Before we start, it's been drawn to my attention that I'm wearing a tie. And I just want to have a little quick vote because I'm willing to go with whatever makes people happiest. Now, who would like me to keep the tie on?
Yes.
Who would like me to take the tie off? As they say in Parliament, the ties have it. We got a very quick call yesterday, on Friday actually, a very unexpected call. Could we go down to Croydon to see our son and his family for the weekend? And which was great. So we got there about mid-Friday afternoon. It was a glorious day and I was given jobs to do, as I usually am. But I looked down the lawn and I saw something which really quite delighted me. There's Livia, our youngest granddaughter, wanted to play hide and seek with Sylvia. So there was Sylvia and Livia playing hide and seek. Livia was like looking when she should have had her eyes shut. So Sylvia didn't stand a chance. Livia wanted to hide, but she also wanted to be found. Because half the thrill of hide and seek is actually being found, isn't it? Sylvia didn't want to be found, she just wanted a rest. And I must admit, I was looking at them and I thought, how long is it since Sylvia and I played hide and seek? But it was only a game. Nobody got hurt. Nobody got lost. And I was thinking about hiding, and then all of a sudden something dropped into my mind, and it was the story of Anne Frank. And for those of you who don't know about Anne Frank, she is a German-born Jew, ended up having to move with her family to Holland because of the Nazi invasion, Second World War. And in Holland, she was forced into hiding with her family because of all the persecution of the Jews. She didn't choose to hide. She didn't want to be found. But she was found. And later she died in a concentration camp. And this got me thinking about the whole subject of hiding. Because we're all very good at it. And I've got to say at this stage that hiding places aren't just physical. It's not sort of getting under the trampoline, which is what Sylvia had to do. It's not hiding behind a tree, which is a bit bigger than you. And it certainly isn't hiding behind a curtain where your feet put out the bottom. But because you can't see through the curtain, people, they think you can't see them. The best hiding places are in our minds. And the most effective of those are really rooted in our minds. Sometimes hiding is good and necessary. Sometimes hiding is necessary to protect us, to shelter us, to rest, sometimes to regroup. That wonderful verse in, is it Proverbs? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. And if we can find that as a good hiding place, it gives us a good foundation in our lives. Sometimes God sends people into hiding for his purposes. Elijah told Ahab it wasn't going to rain for 3 months, even years, 3 years. And he was told to go and hide in the brook, Kerith, by the brook. Joseph and Mary were told to go and hide in Egypt because Herod wanted to kill Jesus. Sometimes because we have to be taken out of a situation, God puts us into a place of almost hiding because he doesn't want us to get involved in what's going on. And if we're in that kind of a place, there's always a danger of getting frustrated or bitter or jealous of people who are in the front line, getting involved in the action, but he's put us to one side. Sometimes that's difficult, but it's for our good. But what God put on my heart, more than any of those things, was when we choose to hide from God. And I can't tell you how strongly I feel about this. I feel this is just something which God did not get me to allow me to escape from saying to you. Because we hide from God for all kinds of reasons, and they stop us in our walk and our service. I've got some stuff here. For fear, for shame, personal comfort, sometimes to avoid being found out, to avoid responsibilities. Sometimes, maybe, hopefully not in this place, sometimes to plan bad stuff. And I don't want this to appear to be like a little moral lecture, the nice things to do. It's very personal to each one of us. It's the kind of thing where I hope you will go away and you'll be thinking about, where do I hide? And it's certainly not a moral high ground place for me, because we're all affected. And I'm just thinking of an occasion when I missed a meeting because I'd had too much to drink. What did I do? I stayed away from the meeting. I didn't be where I could be. I was hiding. I didn't want to be found out. And if that relates in some way or other to some people here, then for goodness sake, just accept that it's there, and God has a way out for people who get trapped in all kinds of hiding places. First people who crossed my mind about hiding was, of course, Adam and Eve. They were in the Garden of Eden. You know the story as well as I do, most of you. They disobeyed the Lord God, and as a result, sin came into the world. And as a result, they realized all of a sudden that they had changed. There was something completely different. They saw that they were naked and they were ashamed, and they tried to hide their nakedness with something quite inappropriate, really. Fig leaves have got into folklore as a kind of a bit of a joke, but that was not a joke. They tried to hide from God. And we read, the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden. Have you ever been like Adam and Eve, just trying to hide from the very fact that God wants to meet with you and deal with you? Moses was confronted by God with a responsibility, with a task. And all he could say to start with was, how can you expect me to do this? He was hiding behind his inadequacies. I'm not going to say too much about each of these because there's not a vast amount of time left, but it's probably best that I don't, actually. Another one, King Saul. Samuel found him, anointed him king. Saul knew that he was meant to be king. And when the Israelites assembled to choose the king, and Saul knew that he was the one to be chosen, he hid. For whatever reasons, instead of coming forward, he hid in the baggage of a truck so that he wouldn't be found. Was it fear of failure? Again, fear of inadequacy? How many times do we hold back from something that God has called us to do, because actually we don't think we're up to it? Let me tell you that if God has called you, you may not be up to it, but he will resource you for every single thing that he calls you to do. I thought of Zacchaeus. We told he climbed up into a tree to see Jesus as he passed by. He was a short man and he wanted to get a good vantage point, fair dues. I wonder what else he might have been thinking. How safe was it in the tree to just gaze on as an onlooker without getting involved, without being confronted by Jesus, just to see the story unfold as the whole crowd went past him? How sometimes we're a little bit like that, sitting on a fence, trying not to get involved. The thing I like about that story was when Jesus reached the spot where Zacchaeus was hiding above, Jesus stopped. And Jesus looked up and he said, come down, Zacchaeus. Come down. I want to have tea with you today. There was the prodigal son, more often called the lost son now. He wanted his share of the inheritance early. And I don't know what he was hiding behind. Maybe just independence, stubbornness, the kind of things that none of us suffer from, do we? And he actually got his inheritance. Where did he end up? He ended up lost, almost, I will never say forgotten, God never forgets his own, but he got lost. And there he was, feeding pigs in a far country. No friends, no money, nothing whatsoever. But you notice that in all of these, where people get lost, actually there is a voice, there is a stirring of the heart, there is an opportunity for someone to actually confront their situation and say, Lord, I don't want to be here anymore. I really don't. Here I am. This is not where I'm meant to be. The son said to himself, I might just be a servant, but actually it's going to be better in my father's house. We briefly mentioned in the Bible study on Thursday night about Acts. We haven't gone through it yet. But we realise in the next chapter we're going to deal with Ananias and Sapphira. What were they hiding behind? Was it selfishness? Was it really just a lie? They wanted the good opinion of others when they sold a field, and not, as had been the practice, giving everything to meet the needs of others. They made out as if they were giving everything, but actually kept some back for themselves. They suffered terribly. You know the story again. Sapphira, when she came in and Peter confronted her, he said, out front, he said, tell me, he said, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land? Yes, she said, that is the price. She had a time when she could have said, sorry, but no. She could have said, told the truth. And I'm just wondering, or I did wonder, why God was putting all this onto my heart this morning. And I thought, well, I don't know. All I can say is, I don't believe that I'm the only person in this place today who can look back on a life when I've hidden from God because I did not want him to challenge me, to confront me, whatever it might have been. I believe, and you know, obviously when you talk with people, you pick stuff up. And so I know that others can look back. I'm particularly concerned for people who right at this moment are hiding from God. And I don't know who you are, and I don't know why you're hiding, but I do know that you are hiding, some people here. And I do know that if that's you, and if you feel that the Holy Spirit is stirring your heart, is making you feel, that's me, all I can say to you is take this opportunity and step up. Allow God to confront you. Talk to somebody else about your situation if that's what you feel you need to do. But don't continue hiding. You see, God is always waiting and watching. He's looking around for people who he can use in his kingdom. Can he use you? Not if you're hiding. Can he use you? Not if you're living a life of dishonesty, immorality, deception, whatever it might be. How can I put this? It's impossible, actually, to hide from God. Adam and Eve tried to hide from God, but they couldn't. God found them out. And I suppose my prayer is that as God found out the people that I've talked to you about, mentioned from the Bible, as God found them out, so he would find you out. So he would find me out if there is anything in my heart which is causing me to step outside of his best will for my life. Because the only place to be, really, the only safe place to be is in his will for my life. It is possible, however, to say no to God. And I really would say, if you feel God is laying a finger on something in your heart, I would say, please, please do not say no to him. As individuals and as a church, we have massive opportunities ahead of us to do the work of his ever-growing kingdom. as individuals, we can't be involved in that if we're not there and available. God won't use people who keep saying, no, I'm not good enough. He won't use people who say, yes, I'll do that, but I'd like to do this my way as well. There's so many things which would stop him using us. And so if it's you, just be upfront. Say, Lord, here am I, as I am. Forgive me. Forgive me for all my sin. Forgive me for every mistake I've made. I'm not much to work with, but please take me as I am and use me. Please do that, Lord. You see, that way, when we get into our new church, Paul was talking about having facilities for 1,000 people. Where are they going to come from? I heard the other night of one or two people who have been drawn into our church purely because somebody spoke to them. Paul talked a lot about fear earlier. If we're hiding behind fear, you know, we know that we have to be bold as we go out to serve him. I'm going to make it by 12, believe it or not. That deserves a clap. Well, the last thing I want to say is very simply, the worst thing about a hiding place is that the longer we're there, the more comfortable we can get. And the worse and the more comfortable we get, the less we feel that we really want to move out. Just crossed my mind that if our hiding place becomes our home, that's a dangerous place to be. A hiding place should be uncomfortable. It should be a place where we just want to get away from. Once it becomes comfortable, once it becomes our home, then the path out is very difficult. But the truth is always there for anyone who wants to return to the Lord their God, for anyone who wants to step out of their hiding place. All we have to do is to cry out to him. Confession and repentance are the keys to so many of these kinds of things. And so many of us find it difficult to do that. But I would say, if I say nothing else at all this morning, and then I'm not, because the big hand is going straight up, and get to this point. Don't ignore the voice of God whispering in your heart. We talk a lot about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I tell you, this is part of the work of the Holy Spirit amongst us, and we don't want to escape it.